Don't be shy. Yeah, anything. Yes.
Hello.
About the Bible, yeah, related with the Bible, okay? Not anything, anything.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know.
You're looking at my Bible.
Has to be related to the Bible.
Sorry.
What book of the Bible is that on the screen?
What Bible is that?
I have a question.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, when we learn the subject history, is it the same timeline as the stories in the Bible?
Yes. Well, let me just first thank Pastor Agus, okay, for bringing us here. And I'm really glad to have this opportunity for especially me and my wife to be here and to also impart something what we have learned, for you to be able to grow in your faith in the Lord. And when Pastor Agus and Miss Lillian was able to talk to me personally, I thought that it's just, you know, a dream for us to really come here, but you know, it's already, you know, real. And they are such a hospitable couple and persons. And I really commend them for you, that you have a pastor like them that really takes care of the church. And at the same time, that's so much dedicated and faithful in not just, of course, teaching and preaching the word of God, but at the same time, very much caring about your foundation. Foundation is very important, because if you are not really deep in your foundation, then the point is that we'll be wobbly in our Christian living as well. So there are a lot of people who attends church, but they are just they are not really part of the church. But it is our hope and prayer that even as they are mindful of your foundation, you will learn to appreciate that. Christianity is not just information, but it's about, you know, living your life as believers in the Lord. So can we just give a hand, okay, to Pastor Agus and Miss Lillian? Thank you so much, okay, for inviting us over, and thank you so much for, you know, being such a hospital person. And to answer that, okay, question. Yes, the timeline, history, the history of the scripture is not different from the history of the world, because if you notice that our history is, in the middle of that is what we call BC, before Christ, and at the same time AD. I would say AD or Anno Domini. Now, the word Anno Domini, let me just come up here and show you. In our history, there is what we call BC. This means before Christ. And then what we have also is AD, which means Anno Domini. Domini means Lord. So therefore, it means before on the year of our Lord. But however, if the atheist people, those who don't believe that there is a God, they tried to erase this, okay? So what they did was to place BCE, and it means before the common era for them. Before the common era. The reason why they have to place this is because they wanted to erase Christ in the scripture, Christ in the history. But in reality, the scripture's history is one with the history of the world. So whatever that is happening in Israel during the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is also part of the history of what is happening in China, what is happening in Japan, what is happening in Europe. So again, whenever you sometimes check the time span, it is pretty much the same. However, it is happening. Most of the scripture that we can see is happening in the scripture in the Middle East. But what we can see is that whatever that is happening in China is different from what is happening in the scripture. But it's basically the same timeline. So we could say that Jesus Christ lived after the time of Confucius, after the time of Buddha. Okay. So, but however, Muhammad lived after the time of Jesus Christ, because it's around 700 AD already. So I would say that it's really part of the history. So it's not really pretty much different. But let me mention also that the geography of the Bible is different from the geography of the modern map that we have. Because the center of the modern map is the West. The center of the Bible map is Jerusalem. So that's why whenever you encounter, let's say, Bible maps, don't use our modern-day map. You use the map of the Bible, okay? So let's not try to adapt our modern-day map in the map of the Bible because it's pretty much different. So the center of the Bible map is Jerusalem, while the center of the modern-day map today is the West, Western, you know, countries. So that's pretty much different. But basically, it's, you know, the same kind of history. So, yeah, just to answer that. Any more? Question, okay? I understand that, you know, you will just have to pop, you know, those questions. I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit will just lead me, you know, to answer those questions, boggling questions in your, at the back of your mind. So, probably if you're still thinking, okay, so have you noticed about the dinosaur? How can the dinosaur fit in the ark? Okay, so those are the most common questions of, you know, the young people. How about the brontosaurus, the stegosaurus, and every saurus that you know, you can find? How can it fit in the ark? Now, there are people who believe that the dinosaurs were actually living already even prior to man, because they are already living during the time of, I mean, you know, if you go back to millions, because even Christians are divided over this. There are Christians who believe in millions of years. They are the old earthers. And there are Christians who believe in the thousands of years, meaning young earthers. They believe, for the young earth, they believe that this world that we live in is around 6,000 years old. But for the old earthers, they believe that this earth that we live in is probably millions to billions of years already. So therefore, again, those are believers. Now, for the believers, okay, they are believers, they are sincere believers, they believe that there are already dinosaurs that were created, and we agree with, even the young earthers believe that there are the dinosaurs. But however, the problem is, or the difference is that, where will dinosaurs come? Is this during the time of Adam and Eve, or prior to the time of Adam and Eve? Now, am I answering? Okay, anyway, before I answer the ark thing, okay, I'm just trying to lay down a good foundation. Where did the dinosaurs came from? Now, they believe that the dinosaurs came into the picture prior to Adam and Eve. That's what other belief says, prior to Adam and Eve. And they died, they became extinct prior to Adam and Eve. When the time came that Adam and Eve was created, then that's the time that, you know, the dinosaurs were already extinct or gone already. Now, if that is the case, then where will death come in? I mean, you know, death came in after Adam and Eve sinned or before Adam and Eve sinned? Okay, let me ask you, where did death came in? After Adam and Eve sinned or before Adam and Eve sinned? After, correct. Now, if they believe that there were already dinosaurs during the time prior to Adam and Eve, and the dinosaurs died prior to Adam and Eve, then death came in before Adam and Eve. And again, this will contradict what the scripture is saying. So I would say that it's really during the time when God created Adam and Eve, God also created the dinosaurs. Now, that's why I would disagree, okay, with that kind of theory. And the dinosaurs, of course, are different kinds of dinosaurs that we see. There are, of course, brontosaurus, stegosaurus, or a lot of saurus that you can think of. The question is, when the flood came, how did all the dinosaurs fit into the ark? Now, some say that it's impossible because, I mean, you think of how big are the dinosaurs? How big are the dinosaurs? How big? Yes, of course. It's much bigger than this church, of course. I mean, this church building. So it's really much bigger. But, okay, if that is the case, how can they fit in the ark? Now, again, we are really assuming, because nobody was there to check. Who was there to check, you know, that Noah did really allow all the dinosaurs and all the animals, you know, into the ark? Nobody was there. So therefore, all of us, including the scholars, are just assuming. Now, however, to assume something is not wrong, because we can assume and say that this is possible. So is it possible that Noah did not brought in the large dinosaurs, but the baby dinosaurs? It's possible, okay? It's possible. So that's a possibility. So we could say that it's not illogical, it's not unreasonable, but it's possible that Noah did brought in, okay, those baby dinosaurs. And also at the same time, when Noah, of course, after the flood, when he released all the animals, it's a different kind of environment already. So remember, the dinosaurs during the time when God created this world, animals are vegetarians. They are not carnivorous. But however, since there's already a change in the environment, and there's already a change in the canopy, meaning the canopy broke, and then the environment all of a sudden changed, and there was, of course, a limited number of food, because you know the flood just receded. Then there is an assumption that some of these animals or dinosaurs became extinct to the point that they died because of the new environment that you know came in. And at the same time, probably they became carnivorous, you know, all along. So that's why we could see a lot of evidence, fossils, that were unearthed during archaeology, that when the flood receded, then they were able to see that, you know, in the layers, there are dinosaurs that were trapped under the layers because of the flood. So that's why we don't disagree with them that there are no dinosaurs. There are dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are real. But however, it's also possible that, you know, they are also inside the ark because probably Noah did not choose those who are big, but Noah chose those who are, you know, at least what will fit in the ark. So it's, again, a possible assumption. So it's not contradictory. It's not against the scripture, but we could also assume. Okay, so whenever a person asks you, how can a dinosaur fit in the ark? Then tell them, can a baby dinosaur fit in the ark? Yes, of course. So, yes. So, yeah, any more? You can talk about, you can probably ask whatever that is bugging you while you are reading the scripture. You can go ahead.
Question?
So while you are thinking, okay.
With that, someone asked me the other day, saying, how come the scientists saying, they found a fossil of dinosaurs, but it's millions of years based on the DNA or whatever they do.
Yes.
It's millions of years.
Yes. And they are actually using what they call the carbon dating. Carbon dating, as they call it. The carbon dating instrument, once they place, let's say, a wood or a fossil of an animal in that carbon dating apparatus, it registers the date as to when that animal survived or is alive. But many have already proven that carbon dating is not that accurate. Because there was an instance wherein they placed a live jellyfish in that carbon dating apparatus, a live jellyfish, okay? It's not a dead jellyfish, it's a live jellyfish, and it registered millions of years. So how can that happen, okay? So therefore, and that is not only once, but, you know, many times, it has some inconsistencies, and I would say that carbon dating is not that really accurate in terms of dating those fossils. Again, evolutionists, and even people who believe that dinosaurs have been here for billions of years could also even, err in that area, because all of us are just assuming. And everything is just an assumption because we are not there. But however, what does not violate the scripture? That's what we need to understand. Will it violate the scripture if we believe that dinosaurs live for billions of years or millions of years? Again, I respect, we have to respect each other because there are Christians who believe in billions of years. There are also Christians who believe in thousands of years. If there are some of us here who believe in the billions of years, it's okay also because it does not require, of course, your salvation. But again, Okay, it doesn't mean that you know you are saved if you believe in the billions of years. But I would say that if what really has less problem with you, then you believe that. Because in theology, whenever you explain, let's say theology, whatever that you think has lesser problem, let's say, then you can stand on that, and whatever that you think does unite from the scripture in the scripture, then you stand on that. Okay, so let's not try to inject something that is so difficult to the point that there's confusion already in our mind. Okay, so we're going to talk even more about that, you know, with regards to the Trinity doctrine. So have you heard? Of course, I understand you heard. Who among you here understands the Trinity doctrine? Can you please raise up? Who among you here are still a little bit confused of the Trinity doctrine? And who among you here believes in the Trinity doctrine? And who among you here says, Pastor, can you just teach it? Okay, I don't want to raise up my hand. Okay, so anyway, yeah. So we'll talk about that even more, okay, after this. So any more? Yes.
Yes. Repeat that about the jellyfish?
Yes.
Yeah, could you just repeat that?
What they did was to place a live jellyfish on the carbon dating apparatus, and it registered for millions of years. Yes.
Why is that so?
Because of that's why they believe that it's inaccurate. The carbon dating is inaccurate in terms of saying or telling that carbon dating is, let's say, accurate in telling us that you know it could register for billions of years, because that's the main apparatus that they're using.
The theory is inaccurate as opposed to the apparatus being inaccurate.
Okay, because it's a live one that they place. Because normally what they did was to place a fossil or a dead one, yes, and so that's why they say that it's not really that accurate. And at the same time, they also even use, let's say, that bark of a tree as well in let's say proving that
the rings of the tree.
Yes, the rings of the tree. They use that also, you know. But however, it doesn't register.
But the whole theory isn't really based on the use of an apparatus, right? The theory is based on calculating the amount of carbon, estimating the amount of carbon that a certain organism has
yes.
when it dies, and the amount of radiocarbon measured in the substance or in the living being,
yes.
And then calculating its half-life to get an approximate age. So
yes.
If the apparatus says it's a millions of years, how does that dispute the theory exactly? Because for all we yes. know, the apparatus could have been broken. Did they test it with other specimens?
Yeah. Well, it's not really broken, but it's really live. I mean, it's really functioning, okay? An apparatus is functioning. And they did not just do it once, but they actually did it in some other materials. So it's not just being done by one guy, but there are separate instances wherein this really proves to be inaccurate. And that's what Ken Ham and at the same time all the young earthers are saying. Again, this is really more of a difference between the young earthers and the old earthers. But because there are Christians who believe in that, okay? I mean, the billions of years and millions of years, they believe that.
Yeah, I'm not disputing the theory of the age of the earth. I'm just wondering, like, how did the jellyfish indicate that it has been existing for millions
yeah,
of years?
Yeah, yeah, right,
is
yeah.
Did it lose
I,
carbon?
Yes.
What happened?
I have not really dived in deep when they said that, because it's just recorded that the jellyfish, registered for millions, but however, it's really more of a live jellyfish. So the question is that how can a live jellyfish record or register for millions of years that is living while it's still alive? So that's the question.
So
like, for example,
they
yes.
did not know. They did not know how it registered to be millions of years?
Well, I guess not, because those people that did that are really, into science. And they are also even, they did that under a scientific way. And those people who are, like for example, Ken Ham, for example, Ken Ham, and those people, I don't know if you are familiar with Ken Ham.
I've yes, done you've, actually some research with
him. Yes, yeah, Ken Ham, and the rest of the, like also Dr. Henry Morris, and the rest of those who are part of the Creation Research Institute also did that. So they also even, backed that up by saying that it's not just once, but, you know, many times it registers differently. So it's not that really accurate. But however, I don't really understand how it really works.
You don't recall how they came
yes,
to that
yes, knowledge. I don't really understand how it works. But I'm just bunking on what they are saying because they are the ones who actually, you know, focuses on this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. You, next one. Yes, Helen.
Yes.
Human evolution.
Yeah. I don't believe in evolution in the sense that it is a macro evolution, but there's a difference between macro evolution and micro evolution. Now, when we say micro evolution, like for example, a wolf, a dog, and a fox are under one phylum, or one gene, or one family, or one stock, or one race. Because if you try to check the kingdom of that kingdom Animalia, then you will understand that there's only one stock or one race. That's, of course, the difference in that is microevolution. But however, a macroevolution is impossible because it is like evolving from one kind to another kind. So like, for example, a fish becoming an amphibian is, of course, impossible because that's one kind to another kind. Or let's say a dog becoming a cat. That's, of course, impossible. So that's why the challenge for every evolutionist is that to give us an evidence where can you please give us an evidence as to macroevolution really is, logical or possible. And what they can only give us are just microevolution, which is, like, for example, the beak of a bird. The beak of a bird, they will say that, you know, the beak of this kind of this bird is longer than the beak of this kind of bird because it's shorter. So again, that is not macroevolution. That is just the evolving of the beak. Okay, that depends on the environment. That depends, of course, on where the bird is. For example, for the humans, let's say white people and black people, that's not macroevolution. That is just, that depends on where, what environment where you are. Because if you are in Africa, that is normally the effect of the people who are born in that place. I mean, if you go back to time, the black skin is used to protect the humans from any cancer, okay, because they need that. But if a white person will live there for many, many years with that kind of white skin, it will do harm in their body. So it's really more of a micro than a macro. So again, I believe that it's a micro, not a macro, like what Darwin said, that, you know, from monkey to human. I don't know if you want to call your grandfathers as monkey, but I don't want to, because I believe that I came from humans, from Adam and Eve. So that's why for other people to say that they came from monkey, I would like to ask, can you please tell me if your ancestors have tails? No, I don't think so. The sacrum... We have a sacrum. I don't know if you are into medical. Okay, so we have a sacrum, and when we are still young, there's a sacrum in a part of our body. They think that it's a tail, and it becomes shorter afterwards. All animals have sacrum, so there's nothing. Nothing new about that. But however, of course, for the monkeys it's different. For some animals it's different, but for us we could not really say that we are of the same kind with animals. We are different because animals have emotion, yes, but however, we have a complicated emotion. Now, if you try to get, let's say if a person kicks a dog, that dog will, of course, bark at him. But however, the dog will surely not be bitter over that person. Because only a person becomes bitter towards another person. Okay, so that's a difference. Another is that, for example, let's say intellectual. I mean, animals are also has intellect because if you teach them, like for example, the whales, if you teach them to, let's say, jump, okay, from the water and then, you know, towards that circle, then they will do that. Like the dolphins, for example, or the whales that you can see in, let's say, Hong Kong. They have intellect, but or beavers, for example, they can create a small dam for themselves, but you cannot see any monkey create a skyscraper. I mean, that's impossible. Only humans can do that. So the same thing also, even with regards to will. So humans have will. Our will is complicated, more complicated than that of an animal. So you can see that pretty much it's different. Animals have is a different kind. Well, you know, we are also different from animals. That's why I could not say that we are animals. No, we are not animals. We are humans. We are humans created by God in His image. Okay, in His image. So that's why we have to stick with the scripture, with what the scripture says.
Question next.
Yes.
How high is heaven?
How high is heaven? There are three kinds of heaven as they see it. Some believers believe that there are three types of heaven. The one that we can see is also a heaven. Okay, like for example, the clouds, and the atmosphere that we can see right now, that's a heaven. The second kind of heaven is beyond that. The planets, the stars, the starry hosts, the galaxies, that's also a heaven. The third heaven wherein Apostle Paul is mentioning that I was caught up in the third heaven when Paul said that. It's the abode of the Lord, meaning it's the presence of the Lord. So therefore, in the book of Genesis, if you notice in Genesis 1:1, it says there, in the beginning, God created the heavens. That is plural, not singular. And Paul was caught up in the third heaven, meaning he was caught up, you know, to be in the presence of the Lord. So that's why many believe that, you know, there are probably three kinds of heaven. The first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. But when a Christian dies, he goes not to the first heaven and the second heaven. He goes to the third heaven. You know, because Paul said, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. So that's what he said. So again, that's why for us, we are all believing and also at the same time, we are assured that once we die, we go immediately to be with the Lord. Who among you here are sure that you have eternal life? Can you please raise up your hand? Okay, that's good. Okay, I hope that you're not just following the crowd, okay, when you raise up your hand. Okay, so yeah, okay, thank you for that question. That's very, very valid as well.
Good question, Audrey. Any other kids? Dora? Question? Anyone?
In the Bible, I mean, hi.
Yes, hi. Hello, hi. Yes. Hello.
So, in the Bible, it states that the punishment for a serpent was it had to slither on its belly.
Sorry, the punishment is?
For a serpent, before they fell into sin, was that they had to slither on their belly. Okay. Does that mean before they were punished, they could walk?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, actually, I was not there when it happened. No. But, yeah, we could... let me just say this. There are people who don't believe that the book of Genesis is literal. They believe that it's just a story, you know, just a story, not really a real story. So, but I have problems with that if you try to say it in that way. Because if we say that the serpent, Adam and Eve, and the creation was not really literal, then that means that sin is not also literal. I mean, again, all of us will say that, no, sin is just symbolical. It's not really a sin. It's just, you know, a symbol, a figure of speech. I have a problem with that. So I would take it as literal. And I would say that, you know, prior to that, then I believe that, you know, serpents could walk. And if you ask me, can serpents speak? Yes. If, of course, there's a supernatural thing that would happen. Remember, Satan, okay, has the power as well. Of course, the power of Satan is not that as powerful as God. God is still the omnipotent or all-powerful God that who created the universe, and He's much more powerful than Satan. Satan has the power, but limited power only. Can he make a serpent talk? Yes, he can do that if he wants to. So therefore, I could say that a serpent can talk, of course, because there is what we call supernatural thing beyond what we can see here in this world. Let me ask you, can you walk on water? Can you walk on water? No, of course not. So therefore, nobody in this world could say that they can really walk on water. And even after 30 years, 100 years, 200 years, nobody can walk on water. And I would say that science cannot even discover how they could walk on water. When Chris Angel, when Chris Angel walked on water, it was actually a deception. They discovered that there is a fiberglass underneath in order for him to be able to walk. And you just can't, I mean, remember, magicians know. A magician cannot fool a magician. And there is one guy by the name of Andre Cole. Andre Cole is part of the Campus Crusade for Christ. He's also a magician that is respected by David Copperfield. And he said that a magician cannot fool a magician. He knows all the tricks of a magician. So that's why if we think that, you know, let's say a person can walk on water or a person can just make a Statue of Liberty, disappear, those are just tricks. Okay, I mean, you will just be amazed how they do this. So therefore, Jesus Christ is not a magician. Jesus Christ is God. And that is a supernatural miracle that comes from God himself. So therefore, we cannot really explain how can a serpent talk, how can a serpent walk during the time. But we believe that this is possible because we have a God who is a supernatural working God. Okay, so that's why we believe that, you know, this is beyond already the human reasoning. Okay, so that's why we hold on to that.
Yes, next.
Yes, yeah, okay. It's good the young kids are learning. Yeah.
Why did God plan for Adam and Eve to sin?
Why did God plan? Wow, that's an adult question. Okay. Well, coming from a kid. Okay. I'm not expecting that. Okay. Let me just... Why did God plan for Adam and Eve to sin? Okay. I just want to lower this down. Actually, the Lord knows. God already knows that Adam and Eve will sin. God knows already. And however, I would not say that God really planned. But since we have the freedom, we have the free will to reject God or embrace God or love God, God gave us the freedom to do that. Even Satan himself has the freedom to honor God or to rebel against God. Every created being, especially being like, you know, angels and humans, have the freedom to reject him or to love him. So therefore, since God already knows that it will happen, God also even provided a way for us to escape from the sin. Now, did God had a plan A and plan B? No. Okay, that is already part of the plan of the Lord. So it is not like, you know, when God created Adam and Eve. Okay, let's create humans. And then he created human. Okay, let's create human to be holy. And all of a sudden, Adam and Eve sinned. And then all of a sudden they said, oh no. What happened here? Okay, Jesus, Holy Spirit, come on, let's gather together. Let's meet again. And let's do something about this. No, they did not do that. They didn't have any, you know, general meeting in order for them to to say, what are we going to do? Okay, Jesus, are you going to save them? Okay, what's our plan this time? Okay, it's not about that. But they already know that, you know, even before time. So therefore, and this is where we come in as humans. We can't really understand all of these things. We can't really know everything about what is happening. But all we need to do is to just believe what the Bible says about this truth that God knows everything. God knows that they will sin. But God provided a way also for us to be able to escape from the sin and to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So again, in that case, if anybody goes to heaven, I mean, let's say tomorrow or next month, then you ask the Lord, okay, that question. And I'm sure the Lord will, you know, answer you, okay? So this is one of the boggling questions that we have, you know, even among the Christian churches and Christian theologians. I mean, this is really something that also, I would say, divides, you know, believers in the sense of how to really respond over this. God's freedom, human freedom, and God's sovereignty. Yeah, but I believe that we have, in my case, I believe that God has given us the freedom to, of course, reject him or love him. Yes, okay, yes, yeah.
So, like, this is like a Christian church, right? But I was wondering, there are lots of people who follow God and Jesus and stuff, but like the groups have a lot of different names and stuff, like Catholic, Orthodox. Okay.
Yes.
I'm wondering why and like,
yes.
Why?
Yes.
Why?
So, why? Okay. Why or why? Okay. Do you have sardines here? No, no. Do you have sardines? Do you have sardines? Okay. Can you give me, are your sardines in cans? Okay, cans. So we also have that in the Philippines. Canned sardines. Now, can you give me names of those sardines? One name. Just one name, one brand name. John West. John Wesley? Is that a sardine? Oh, really? Wow. Okay. John Wesley became a sardine. Okay. I mean, a brand name for a sardine. Okay. So we have John Wesley. Okay. Let's say John Wesley. And what else? Okay. Anyway. So there are different kinds and brands of sardines. Can you say that there are more than 10 brands of sardines? 20 brands. Okay. So there are many brands. Now, I would say that if this John Wesley sardine, okay, has a name John Wesley, and then inside this can is a chicken. Okay? What if inside this can is, and he pretends to be a sardine? Do you think that this is a real sardine or a genuine sardine? No. Do you have a chicken sardines here? No. What is inside a sardines? What is inside the cans? What? Fish. Correct, fish. So now, there are also... Now, the fish, of course, represents the doctrine of the church. Now, the doctrines that we hold on is at least, of course, essentials are at least five that I can give you, but there's more. We believe in the Trinity doctrine. We believe that salvation is by grace through faith and not by works and not by anything, any amount of good works. And then we believe in the divinity and humanity of Christ. We believe in the divinity and humanity and divinity and personality of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the virgin birth of Christ, and we believe in the physical resurrection of Christ. Now, point is that at least we have six. I can add more. But the churches believe this. Now, if the Roman Catholic Church, for example, will say, we believe that salvation is by faith in Jesus plus good works, then do you think that will fall under here? No. If a group will say, we believe that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, he is human and not God, then do you think he is accepting the Trinity doctrine? No. So therefore, if a church believes this, then they fall under the category of a Christian church. So therefore, the Baptists, the Methodists, and all the Christian churches, okay, that you can see all around, the denominational church who believes in this are all brands, meaning they all have different names, but they are Christians because of the doctrine that they hold on. Whatever the name of the church, whether the name of the church is I rebuke you in Jesus' name Christian fellowship, but if they hold on to this, it's okay. If that's what they want to name their church, that's up to them. But what's important really is the doctrine. Okay, so that's why, you know, even though the church does not bear the every nation church, for example, if you believe in this tenet, then we'll call ourselves brothers and sisters in the Lord. So that's why it's not about the name, it's about the teachings. It's not about the name. So that's the difference between a cult and a Christian church. Because the cult wants every group to be named as Jehovah's Witness, as Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as, let's say, United Pentecostal Church. So again, that's why we label them as a cult. So that's why, as long as a group believes this, then we are safe. So what if, for example, one of your members is in the Philippines, and there's no church like your church in the Philippines? What is, you know, what will he do or what will she do? Will she just wait and then, no, I will not attend any church because I want, you know, a particular name that, you know, our church has in Australia, you know, to be in here in the Philippines? No, I don't think so. But she can attend, you know, any church as long as, of course, that church holds on to the major tenets of the Christian faith. And at the same time, that goes on with the other non-essentials, okay? So the speaking tongues and prophecy and etc. So those are just non-essentials. That could not save a person. But if you don't hold on to this, this is very important for the salvation of a person. So these are all essential doctrines. So if you don't hold on, later on we'll talk about that in the Trinity doctrine as well. Did I somehow answered your question about that? Or you want to add something? Another question probably that pops in your mind? Yeah.
So, like, are you saying that, like, all these different types of, like, churches, mm-hmm. like Christian, Catholic, and stuff, they're just, like, branding?
Yes. So they're names are just branding, yes.
They all, like, follow God and stuff.
They
all just follow God and stuff, but they have different ways of, like, worshiping.
Yes. So let's say, for example, as long as they believe in this, let's say, for example, the Baptist Church. The Baptist Church has a different way. They believe this, but they have a different way of worshiping the Lord in the area of, let's say, singing hymnals. Everything is a hymnal. Because for them, they don't use, let's say, electric guitar or drums. Can we call them as Christians? Yes. Because being a Christian is not just because you are doing those kind of stuff, like, you know, playing the guitar or let's say doing drums, or let's say if you are into hymnals, it's not about that, but it's about, you know, your belief. And at the same time, of course, if you gave your life to the Lord and believe, you know, all the tenets of the Christian faith, then you are labeled as a Christian. So that, of course, that also is it's another story. If you talk about, let's say, a person who believes in all of this, but he did not really is living out, you know, his Christian life, because there are people who believes in this, but it's just all in the intellect. It's just all in the belief. But however, you can't really see their life change. So am I saying that all the Roman Catholics are going to hell? No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Because there are Roman Catholics who also believe in this tenet, and at the same time, they place their faith in Jesus Christ, and they don't even believe anymore in Mary as the mediator of all grace. They all already believe that, you know, they need to attend Mass, that they believe differently already, but they still opted to attend the Catholic Church. That's their choice if they want to, but I will not label and I will not judge them and say that they're going to eternal hellfire just because, you know, they are Roman Catholics. But however, I would say that in order for them to grow, they would really go to a church that teaches the Bible. Because in a Roman Catholic Church setting, they don't normally dive in deep in the Scripture. So there are churches like ours that dives in deep into the Scripture and, you know, draws from the Scripture. That's the difference, yeah. I'm sorry.
Who made God?
Oh, wow, okay. I think somebody is telling you to ask that question. No, just kidding. Who made God? Now, we define God as the creator of the universe. We define God as God. The reason why he's God is because nobody made him. Now, if we say that somebody made God, then we can't say that he's God. So that's why that is a question that is being thrown normally by atheist people. And it's an illogical question. That is a question that does not require really an answer. It is like saying, why is 1 plus 1 is equal to 2? Okay, so can 1 plus 1 is equal to 4? Or can black be white? Or can a square be circle? So no, of course not. And that's really an absurd question. So another question that is being thrown is that, can God create a stone that he can't move? Of course not. I mean, that would be absurd. Because God is God, and God can actually do supernatural things and supernatural stuff. So therefore, that kind of question, let's define God first. God means that He is the creator of the universe, and that God, nobody made God. God has been there already in time, in eternity time. He's been there. I don't know how did God became God to the point of, you know, God, because what we believe is God is already there. In the Bible, by the way, the Bible does not say, or the Bible does not tell us that there is a God. The Bible assumes that there is already a God. So it is not an evidence that, you know, when you read the Bible, it will prove to us that there is a God. No. The Bible already assumes that there is a God. That's why in the Bible it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So therefore, it is already being assumed that there is a God. So let's just, you know, embrace that fact. That God is God, and that He is the creator of everything, and that nobody created Him. And, you know, but however, for us, we are all created, and we are all finite human beings. I mean, we have limitations. So your mom and dad has a beginning. Your great-great-great-great-granddad or grandfather has a beginning. But Adam and Eve has a beginning, but God has no beginning. So that's why... That's why we could say that He is God, because nobody created Him. Yes, 1, 2. Okay, so. Okay.
How many people got baptized in the Bible?
How many people got baptized in the Bible? There's a lot of people that got baptized in the Bible. The reason why people got baptized during the time, water baptism. The reason why people got water baptized during the time is that for them to declare their faith to all the people around them. For example, let's go back, you know, in that day and time. Jewish people. Now, the Jewish people believe that Jesus Christ is not God. The Jewish people believe that He is not their Savior. The Jewish people believe that they are not, He's not the Son of God. So, if a Jewish person becomes a Christian, if a Jewish person becomes a believer, therefore, aside from believing in Jesus Christ, he must, of course, be baptized, because in order for him to be able to publicly proclaim to the people that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again from the grave. So it's more of a public proclamation for them. Acts chapter 2:38, okay, let me just mention this. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, the word repent there, okay, let me just expound on that simple question. The word repent simply means changing your mind. And if repent means changing your mind, my question is this. So, repent came from came from the Greek word metanoia. Metanoia came from two words, which is meta means change. Noia means knowledge or mind. Meta means metamorphosis. Remember a butterfly? You know, it was changed from caterpillar to becoming a butterfly. So if repent means change of mind, and you're talking to a Jewish person, can I ask for a volunteer? Okay, can I ask who can be my volunteer, my youngest volunteer? Okay, for example, can I ask you? Okay, so for example, can I have your name?
Joshua.
Joshua, okay, why? What a nice name. Okay, he really went up there, okay? So Joshua, okay? I was really planning to, you know, for you to be there only. So no, it's okay. So for example, Joshua... Joshua is Peter, and the Apostle Peter, and I'm a Jewish person. And Joshua, okay, being the Apostle Peter, is telling me, you know what? Change your mind. Can you tell that to me? Change your mind.
Change your mind.
Yes, okay. Change your mind. So therefore, the question is, what needs to be changed, okay, in my mind? I need to change my mind with regards to how I view Jesus Christ. Because as a Jewish person, I'm thinking that Jesus Christ is not really God. He's not really God who became human. So I need to change my mind. Now, what if, for example, I responded to you, Joshua, and said, okay, so you're Peter, for example. Okay, Peter, I need to change my mind. I believe that Jesus Christ is God. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Do you think that I'm going to heaven already when I say that, when I believe that?
No.
Why?
Because you might not believe in God, really.
Okay. So what if, for example, I really believe in God, 100%? Like what? Okay. Like I just told you, Joshua, I believe in Jesus Christ. What you're telling me is right. I believe Him. I receive Him as my Savior. Yes, I agree with you that Jesus Christ is God who became human, and I believe and I receive Him. Now, what do you think? Am I really saved already when I say that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, is it 100% saved or 50% saved?
50.
50 only? Okay, why 50% only? So what do I need to do in order for me to go to heaven? No. So therefore, no. Okay. So therefore, if you think that, you know, I already believe in God, Jesus is my Savior already, do you think that I'm already 100% going to heaven or 50% going to heaven?
100.
100. Okay. So 100. So therefore, I'm already 100% going to heaven, right? So if that is the case, I'm already saved, right?
Yes.
Yes. How come there's a question mark at the end? Okay. Can you say yes?
Because when you know the...
yes. I'm 100% saved, right? Because when I said that, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So therefore, what happens next is that now tell me, okay? You tell me this. And you ask me, now that you believe in Jesus Christ, it's time for you to declare your faith by being water baptized. Okay, can you tell me that?
What?
Okay, okay, tell me that. Now that you're already saved, it's time for you to get water baptized.
Now that you're saved, it's time for you to get baptized.
Yes. So therefore, next question is that, am I going to be water baptized? Yes, of course. Because I want to declare my faith to the people around me. So that's the next step. In other words, I'm already saved when I believe in Jesus Christ. Because John 3:16 says, what does John 3:16 says?
For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Great, okay. Thank you so much. So, can you see that, okay? Notice that it says there, believe. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will not perish, but have eternal life. Does it say there that you need to be water baptized, do a church membership, or, add good works?
No.
It's just belief, right?
Yes. So, in other words, it's just belief in Jesus Christ. So, therefore, water baptism is, of course, a public proclamation during the time. We're going back to their time. Okay, but however, today, thank you so much, Joshua. Okay, so can we just give him a hand? Okay, thank you so much. So if you notice that today, water baptism even today became a church membership thing already, you know, for many church groups. And that's, of course, unfortunate because it means, you know, that you become part of the church. But in reality, during the time, it's not. It means, you know, they have to publicly proclaim to them that Jesus Christ is their Savior and Lord. And many Jewish people doesn't want to publicly proclaim that Jesus is Lord because for fear that they might be kicked out from their group. So many of them believe already, but however, because of their fear, they don't want to, you know, publicly proclaim their faith in Him. The same thing also even in the Philippines as well. In the Philippines, if you get water baptized, in the mind of the people is that, are you going to be a member of that particular church? But in reality, that's not what water baptism means. It's just to declare that Jesus Christ is really your Lord and Savior. So that's what it really means. So because, of course, of our relationship with Him already. So that's my long answer to your simple question. Okay, so yeah.
I've got two questions.
Yes.
One is around the creations. You mentioned about second heaven.
Yes.
So I was wondering, if you know during your studies, you found out what is the reason why God has created second heaven. Like, what are the purposes of all the other planets?
Yeah.
Other than Earth that we live in.
Yes, yeah.
If you don't have the answer, I understand.
Yeah, I will not answer. No, just kidding. Yes. Your second question is?
My second question is, sometimes, you know, in this world, we have tsunami, we have earthquake, a lot of natural disasters. So I'm finding it quite challenging when I was asked that question from my non-Christian friends as well as my kids.
Yes.
Why God allowing such suffering, I would say.
Yeah.
And I sometimes cannot really give them an answer that really please them. So I'm just wanted to your guidance. What is the best answer to that kind of questions,
yes.
I guess, here?
So let me answer first the first question about the second heaven. Now, the scripture is not really clear on that. The Lord created all the galaxies and every stars that we could really see. But there is some, and I would say also, and this is really based from what I understand from the scripture, is that there is no such a thing as an alien. There are no aliens in other planets. I mean, I hope that, you know, our minds will be freed from that. Because we are the only people in all the entire galaxies. There are billions of galaxies that are yet to be discovered and that are undiscovered. And I believe that even in our lifetime of the scientists, even, they cannot really discover that anymore. Because billions of, you know, there are billions of galaxies and Milky Ways at the same time. So what is the purpose of that? The Bible says very clearly in the book of Romans, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. You have no way of understanding yet what heaven is all about. Because in the book of Corinthians, because it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let me just give you a passage wherein Paul mentioned about this perfection, okay, when he mentioned about the word perfection in the book of Corinthians. Let me just cite that. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says here, starting with verse 11, 1 Corinthians 13, 11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, Paul said. For now, presently, we see in a mirror dimly. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So therefore, the passage speaks of perfection. Because one day, of course, we could say that when the time comes, we will not see just partially, but fully. Not just in part, but fully. And we will be, of course, fully known. And also, at the same time, in this world that we live in, we can't really understand everything right now. But when the time comes that we are in heaven, then we will really understand already what are the purpose of those galaxies, what is the purpose of the things in this world. There are things in this world that we have not yet discovered. Like, for example, and slowly they have been trying to discover the function and the purpose of everything that God created in this world. I don't know if I have to mention, because there's this one part, but it might be very, very much graphic for you if I mention it. Because I will not mention anymore than the term. This thing that came from a fly, okay, you know a fly, right? Fly. This thing that came from a fly, they discovered, I would say, several hundreds of years ago only, that it can be used to even treat our wounds. Okay, the larva of a fly, okay, they found out that it can really heal our wound. Now, I'm not saying that you go get a fly and then, you know, get the larva and then, you know, apply it in your wound. No, I'm not saying that. But the scientists have discovered that, of course, they have a way of purifying it and at the same time freeing it from any bacteria and use it to treat the wound because it's much more faster in treating than a penicillin. Many, many years ago, they have not discovered that, but they discovered it. For us, probably, what's the purpose of that? I mean, that's just a larva of fly. I mean, that's yucky. But however, they discovered that already just, you know, several hundred of years. There are many things that we have not yet discovered in this world and yet to be discovered. The same thing even, you know, with regards to heaven and the galaxies. So I would say that there's a purpose for that. But for now, we can only see a part of it. But someday, we will really see that. Many people don't understand that we will rule angels. Angels have a function, and that is, of course, for us to rule over them. And when the time comes. So therefore, I have no idea. The Bible is not very clear on that. Whether we will be, I mean, going to all the planets and really sightsee, okay, all the planets. Because for the people here right now, they just tour Europe. But for the believers, don't you worry, because you will be touring galaxies when the time comes, okay? So, and we will see, you know, we will see that eventually, because we are just seeing part of, you know, the God's creation. See, we are just seeing this part of the creation, but in reality, when the time comes, everything will be fully known. Second question to be addressed is that with regards to, was that again the second question so far? The
Natural disaster.
Okay, the nature disaster. Now, with regards to nature and disaster, why is this happening? And how can we really minister to the people who were struck with that? It's difficult because, especially if their loved ones were affected by that disaster, like, for example, tsunami or earthquake. But there are two things that we need to understand, because for the believers, if the believers were stricken by calamities or, let's say, events that you can't really control, one thing that we need to understand is that God is really testing our faith and at the same time deepening our faith in Him. That is all the thing there is, deepening. Now, why is God doing that? Is God like a sadist, you know, to do that very thing to us? Now, we can't really question our Maker, because our Maker is the one who decides for everything. For example, if I'm the creator of this bottled water, let's say I form this bottled water, the place of this plastic bottled water, I understand that the purpose of this is for drinking. Now, what if, for example, I have a set of paper here, and there's a fan over there, and it, you know, blows away my paper. So what will I do if I'm talking to somebody and my papers are being blown away by the fan? I can use this as a what? Place my bad water on top, and so that, you know, my papers will not be blown away. But that is not the function of this bottled water. I have a purpose why I use that for the moment. So therefore, in other words, right now, if, let's say, this is our timeline, and something happened to us here, we don't know the plan of the Lord after that. In other words, we are just seeing one part of our life. All we need to do is just to trust the Lord, that the Lord is the one who's going to turn things around for His glory and honor. Just like what happened to Joseph. Remember what happened to Joseph when he was sold to the Egyptian traders, and then at the same time, he even was accused of doing something that he did not really do it. And then at the same time, he was even put in prison. A lot of things happened to him, but not knowing that there is a plan and a purpose to really rule that part of the Egypt. So, speaking of that, God allowed those things to happen in order for us to trust Him. Now, for the unbelievers, tsunamis happened and earthquakes happened, so that these people will call out to the Lord themselves. Now, we have no idea why the Lord again chose to do that or allowed to do that. It's because we can't really, and we are not there to check their lives. For example, let me just mention a difficult case. Why was this young lady raped by a bunch of guys? Now, we have no idea why did it happen. The point is that this young lady, the reason why he was raped is because he was drinking along with a bunch of guys. And when they were already are intoxicated by alcohol, then this very thing happened to that young lady. Now, and this young lady probably, or the parents would say, Lord, why did you do this to my daughter? Not knowing that it's really the fault also of that young lady. Why he, of course, was, doing these things along with those men around there. So the point is that you can't really blame God about everything. if we can only try to microscope the lives of every people, you will see that you can't really blame the Lord. It's also sometimes, you know, I would say many times it's the fault of people. All the time. Okay, not many times, but all the time. It's the fault of the people. You can't blame God about everything. So with regards to our health, you will say, Lord, how come that I have a sickness? Why? How come that I have this kind of sickness? Then you check your lifestyle. Okay, probably you've been eating too much salt. You've been eating too much pork. You've been eating too much sweet. Then you blame God and say, Lord, how come? Why did you allow me to have this kind of sickness? Lord, I am so much active in my ministry. Lord, why? But the doctor said, well, you know why? Because you've been eating so much, too much sweet. Okay. A reason why this thing happened. And don't blame God about those things, because God gave us wisdom as well to be able to, of course, discipline ourselves and, you know, have the self-control to say, no, okay, I want to eat this, okay, because it will affect my body. So therefore, those things happen for a purpose. So you just have to allow the Lord to speak to them, especially if you're talking to an unbeliever. So again, let's not just go ahead and blame God about everything.
We only have 15 minutes to go for questions. I know that some still wanting to ask questions, but I'm going to put priority for the kids. If kids want to ask questions, ask. If not, I'm going to give it to the adult. Yes, you have?
Are other gods real?
Are other gods real? Okay. There are other gods, okay, of course. Like, for example, other gods in India. There are millions of gods in India. There are also gods in our country. But however, the question is, are they real God? They are not real gods. They are false gods. They are just the product of the imagination of people. They are not real gods. They are just the product of the figment of the minds of people. You can imagine a god if you like to, but they are not real. So that's what people are doing. They try to imagine that there's a god, but in reality, they are not real gods, but they are false gods. Remember, for example, I don't know if you have fake stuff here in Australia. In the Philippines, for example, we have fake Levi's. Okay? We have fake Levi's. When you say fake Levi's, they are not genuine Levi's. Now, the reason why they are called fake or not genuine, it's because they are original Levi's. You can't produce a fake one if there is no original. So therefore, there are false gods because there is a real God. So the enemy would like to fake the real God. So that's why we could say that those fake gods and not true gods and not real gods are just a product of the mind of some people. And they will create their own God. If you go to the tribes, they will have their own God. You know what their God is? Their God is, of course, the nature, the trees. If you go to, let's say, another land, their God would be an idol, an image that they created for themselves. Because man, inside their heart, are built to really worship the Lord. They are created to worship the Lord and to honor the Lord. No man can say that they don't need God. Every person in this world, however civilized that world is, or that city is, or that part of the world is, they will still call upon the God of the universe. The reason why they don't call upon the God of the universe is that their God is the material world. Like, for example, in Japan, for example. I mean, we could say that Japan is very, very much rich. But there are a lot of young people who cut short their life because they found that materialism cannot really fulfill their heart and could not fill their heart. But however, they are still longing for something. And they have no idea that, you know, it's God who should come into their heart. There is this one scientist who said, in our heart, there is a vacuum. That unless the Lord fills that vacuum, you cannot find contentment in this world. In other words, you have to find Jesus Christ and find contentment in Him. So real fake gods could be the material things in this world. Fake gods could be your position. Fake gods could be your career. Fake gods could be your the things that you can, or a person. Okay, so that's why let's not place something above God. Let's place God above all. So that's where, you know, real gods and, a real God and those fake gods are. Okay, so we believe in the real God. And that's none other than, of course, Jesus Christ Himself.
Thank you. Calden?
what is angel and how angels appear. Yeah. Angels in the Bible are interesting because angels are real. Okay, there are, of course, angels are seen in the scripture that has wings, but there are angels that has no wings because whenever they see angels in the scripture, they are like human. Okay, they are like human. So we have no idea if that person beside you is an angel. Okay, can you look at that person beside you and check if that is an angel? Okay, so anyway, so there are cases wherein angels appear like human, but most often times angels are used by the Lord to convey a message. Like, for example, Gabriel was sent to convey a message. There are angels that are warring angels. For example, Michael is a warring angel. So he's a warrior angel. But however, there's one angel that rebelled against the Lord. And you know who that angel is? It's actually Lucifer. Okay, so Lucifer. Lucifer is one angel. There are three kinds of archangel. Lucifer, Michael, the warring angel, and also Gabriel, the one who conveys the message. So angels are sent literally to us, not the demons and Lucifer, but angels, the good angels, okay? The angels that came from the Lord are sent to us to even protect us and to guard us. So they are sent as a ministering spirits based on the book of Hebrews. So therefore, that's their job. But do not call to an angel. Okay? You don't talk to an angel. Jesus Christ did not even talk to an angel when he was living here on planet Earth. What he said was, I can call unto the Father, and he will send me legions of angels. So therefore, let's not talk to an angel. Let's talk to the Lord and say, Lord, send me your angels to guide me. So our Lord, place your angels around our house. That's okay, because you are talking to the Lord. But for you to talk to Angel Michael, can you please don't do that? Because that is, of course, trying to make Michael as your God already. And nobody can hear your prayer except God and God alone. So let's not be so much into angels, because we can call unto the Lord. Call unto the Lord. Call unto God. So again, angels are true, okay? Just like demons are also even true. So yeah. Okay, so thanks for that question.
Kids, any more kids?
Any more?
Eric?
Yes.
Sorry. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Was Satan alive when Jesus was alive? I mean, when God was alive?
Of course, God is there already from the beginning. Let's say, for example, this is God. For example, no, God has no beginning, of course. But God was there already from the beginning, and God created Lucifer. Lucifer is a name. Lucifer means morning star. Okay? Lucifer is a good name. If Lucifer did not rebel, I'm sure one of our children will be named Lucifer. Yeah. If Lucifer did not rebel. Even Judas is also a good name. If Judas did not, you know, probably go against Jesus, then one of our children will be named Judas. Imagine, you know, Judas, come here, let's eat, you know, or Lucifer, can you please, what's your answer, Lucifer? So many of us are, you know, having this cringe whenever we hear the name Lucifer, because of course we understand that he's a demon, he's a Satan. But Lucifer was there, he was created by the Lord along with all the other angels. The angels were created first, and then at the same time, humans were created afterwards. So they were there already. But God is, of course, eternal. He was not created. God is, you know, in the beginning already. Yes.
Any more? Kids? Okay, Ari, you can go.
Yeah, okay. There's another at your back, I think.
Oh, is
a young guy, yeah. He's raising his hand.
Okay, Ari, you can go first.
Okay.
So I have two questions. One,
yes.
But first of all, I'd like to go back to the doctrines of the church, particularly
yes.
The second one for the salvation through grace and faith. So particularly all of these church doctrines, were they established pre-Baroque era, as in during the 16th century, or before or after?
You're talking of the doctrine,
yes.
Which is the essential doctrines?
Yes, one
no.
More thing.
Well, that's slowly, okay? It's a slow development of the doctrine. It's not a one-time event, because there is what we call, let's say, the Nicene Creed, for example. The Nicene Creed was formed to counter those people who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is God. And it was formed at around AD 325. So therefore, there are, like, for example, also the Council of Constantinople, if I'm not mistaken, that's around 6th century as well. So that depends really on the time, but it's not an overnight thing for them. So it was developed because of the heresy that is really right. abounding during the time.
But by the Dark Ages, all of it was already in place, right?
And when you say Dark Ages, what year was that?
15th century.
No, they already have that doctrine. There's already the doctrine during the
time. Does that mean the second doctrine for this, that is salvation through grace by faith, was violated by the Catholic Church mm-hmm. when they were selling indulgences, as
yes,
was
right.
indicated by the 95 Theses? Were they aware that they were violating this? And
well, I would say, well, there are two things only that we need to consider, because I would say that there are priests during the time that they are already aware that this is being violated, but there are also some priests who cannot really speak out, okay, against the Roman Catholic authorities. It takes a Martin Luther to speak out against the Roman Catholic Church that this very thing is being violated already. So if, again, we understand church history, Martin Luther, when he knows and understands that this is already being violated because of what he saw from the scripture, he spoke against the Roman Catholic authorities for the purpose of really reforming only the Roman Catholic. But not to the point of really changing them or trying to say that, you know, let's change all the system.
Well, in the end, he created a sub, the Lutheran.
No. That purpose is not really to create a sub-Lutheran movement. No. It just followed because of the people who really cling on to, and at the same time, who agreed with him that this is not supposed to be. We have to go back to the scripture. So again, that is the case there. So we have no idea if, you know, a number of priests already knows this, but however, they can't really speak out against the Roman Catholic Church authorities.
For fear of being excommunicated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Ari, I'm probably going to hold you there, and
yes.
probably have a chat with the pastor
yes.
later
yeah.
on. I've got Ken, one more question for today, and then we're going to go for a break.
Can angels sin or do bad things?
Ah. Okay, angels can sing because if you notice also that in worship, of course, remember Lucifer. Many theologians believe that Lucifer is one of the worship. I would say that the worship leader, okay, among the angels. Although this is of course an assumption that they get from the scripture verse, but it's not impossible that they, of course, sing through worship. So therefore, they worship the Lord in through singing, but the next question is, can they do bad things? Yes, because they have the freedom. But however, one third of the group of angels left the throne. They rebelled against the Lord. And so Lucifer brought with him one third of the angels. And then the rest became submissive to the Lord, and they still worship the Lord. So yes, they could really do bad things. And we call them demons. Okay, so there are demons who are... Are there demons today? Yes, there are. But not the person, of course. Besides, you know, no, that's a Christian believer, okay? So there are demons today. But don't be afraid of the demons, because the Bible says, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So there's no, there's nothing to be afraid of demons. You just have to just acknowledge, you know, your identity in the Lord. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor, for
thank
the time.
Also.
It's
yeah,
just
thank
amazing
you.
To have
thank
that
you.
Knowledge from you. And we have 15 minutes. Take a break, coffee and tea and snacks, toilets, and back at 4. And Pastor Jun will be teaching about prayer and LGBT as well. Okay? Teaching about Trinity. And I knew some of you still have questions, but have a chat to Pastor Jun directly. If you want, and he'll be here all day as well tomorrow. So thank you.